Welcome to the Analog Assault Podcast. Buckle up for some large explosions and some great nerd talk. Let's go!
You're listening to Analog Assault, a video game podcast by Mulehorn Gaming.
Welcome, guys, to Season 2, Episode 1 of the Analog Assault Podcast. We have all our hosts here with us tonight. We have Radical. What up, Rad?
Hello. We got
Scarecrow. And we got Lupo. That still throws me off, dude. And Mr. Primetime. What up, Prime?
Oh, man, just feel my Lupo vision is very nice.
Looking good, looking
it's
good.
It's a spin-off of WandaVision, honestly.
It is.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. So, as you guys know, we're back at it. We've been on break for a little while, but we're now over here on YouTube at youtube.com/Mulehorn Gaming. And we're going to do this a little bit different. We're doing this new little segment. Instead of just saying, hey, guys, what you been doing, what you been playing, you're going to be on the clock. So if you guys hear this, it means you are out of time. You got 3 minutes to tell me what you've been doing, what you've been playing. We're going to start with T-Prime. You're on the clock.
Okay, so I've been watching this series on Amazon Prime called Them. It's been pretty good. I'm almost to the very end of it. It's pretty awesome. Playing-wise, I have been playing Control while anticipating for the big game that came out today, tomorrow. Control is fantastic. Gives me those Alan Wake, Quantum whatever vibes, and I love it.
Right.
Quantum Break. Thank you, Lupo. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Lupo, look at these shades, yo. And I've been doing a little bit of crypto mining and making a little money on the side, put my PC to work. Lupo, too, we need to talk later. And everything else has been Mass Effect. I've been itching, been jonesing, and hyping, and here we are.
They make a cream for that.
May or may not. Be vacationing in New Zealand, but either way, things are good. And Eden Prime is Eden Prime.
Nice.
Oh, no buzzer. I did good.
You still had a. What have you been watching, dude? You still have like a minute 50.
Them on Amazon Prime. I did. What's that latest movie on Amazon Prime with what's his name that played in Wakanda?
Michael B. Jordan?
Michael B. Jordan, the...
The one on Prime, yeah.
It was pretty good. Not like, wow, but it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. Now that we have 3 minutes, man, I don't know what to fill in. That's just so different.
I can take them back for you.
No going over on the time. Especially with you New Yorkers over there. It's like... No going over the time.
I should have talked slow like I normally do, but hey.
Hey, you had a minute to spare. So we're going to go Crow. Crow, you're on the clock. Go.
Let's see. What have I been watching? We'll start with watching. I'm watching my animes. Loving my animes. Keeping up with Log Horizon. Just week to week. Such a great show, in my opinion. Just finished. I'm looking at my list kind of right now, trying to look at it. I forget how you pronounce this one. I don't know. It's a good slice of life one. Really enjoyed it. I'm really sad it ended. I'll have to, if anyone wants to know, I can message them what it was. That time I got reincarnated as a slime.
Very good.
Boy, that show, when I first saw it, I was like, they're going to make a show about a character who's a ball of slime. Like, how is this going to be any good? But, boy, it's interesting.
I mean, Flubber was a big hit. If Flubber can make it, so can the ball of slime.
Flubber.
There.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm eating your time.
And that's kind of it right now. I did start a new one that is made by the same studio that did Konosuba, which is a very dilly anime. Like it gets out there and very, let's say, very fan servicey.
Yeah.
So it's nice. Interesting. I watched the first episode of that. Gaming wise, I've done a little bit different. I've done my regulars, my Genshin and my Destiny, but this week myself and Lupo and a few other people picked up a game called Craftopia, which we're really enjoying messing around in. Imagine like kind of like Valheim-y building system with like Breath of the Wild game mechanics. As far as you can climb anything, you've got different weapons you can make. Well, you can't craft. I guess you can't craft in those in Breath of the Wild, but you can fly around and you basically teleport to these different worlds, build factories and machines you can end up building, all these automated systems. I built a machine that bred werewolves, and I had a giant pen of werewolves, and let's just say they were docile, but they were a little rowdy. And it went a little crazy.
Yeah.
Enjoying that. Other than that, I spent some time, my mother is visiting me, so I've been spending time with her, doing stuff like that. And then I'm getting excited for the weekend. Some stuff that I'll talk about in a little bit.
Right on. Dude, you had, that, bad batch. You had 17 bad batch. Seconds. I wanted to buzz you so bad. I had this so buzzer bad. Button. I just want to push it. I just want to push it.
That and Bad Batch. Very good.
All right. Next up, Lupo, you're on the clock.
Okay, so what have I been watching? I started Bad Batch and then I fell asleep. So I'm going into the weekend, I'm going to be 3 episodes behind. So I can't even stop to catch up because I promised my wife we would watch it together. So I have 3 episodes of Bad Batch to catch up with this weekend because the new episode airs tomorrow. We didn't get to watch Loki, which aired that was yesterday. Is that next week or yesterday?
Next week.
Next week. Okay, perfect. Yeah, not less things to worry about in the future. Same thing, animes. I'm watching season 5 of My Hero Academia. That just started a couple weeks ago. Yep. Very fun. Same things as Crow. The time I got reincarnated as a slime. Log Horizon. The last episode was actually today. That's been very good. Been watching ReZero. Restarting Life from Zero. That's actually just the subtitle of it. I'm just like really enjoying those shows. Not too much like shows wise. I tried watching Invincible and it was interesting at first. And I was just like, all right, this is just too much blood and ridiculousness. I just can't get into it right now. So maybe that's something I revisit in the future. Playing wise, new content in Destiny. That's the biggest thing that for me this week. So new content in Destiny. Played a little bit Apex with Mule this week. That was a whole lot of fun.
Yes.
Yes. He finally talked me into it. Oh, not even really. You didn't really pull my leg. I just kind of, did it myself, honestly. So I'm trying to think of like the other games I've been playing. So Mass Effect this weekend, and I'm really excited for that. And then the PS2 beta, what Crow will talk about in a little bit this weekend. But as far as like, I know when in the end of last season of the podcast, we were talking about me playing 50 games this year, and I call it the 50 and 52. I did finish Gears of War 5, and I finished The Outer Worlds, both nice. Very good, and I was happy with those. Nice. And I started Rage 2. I played Craftopia, and I've been playing a lot of Monster Hunter Rise. That's my other game.
Rage
I've been playing
2, I like it.
It's like if Borderlands met Doom, and I don't know how to feel about it.
Right. Yes.
It's like there's really cool things about it, and then there's other times where you're just like, dude, get on with it.
Right.
So it's a fun shooter. I think the shooting mechanics are very good, but the story is just kind of and that's just it's not driving me to play more. So I kind of just like started and have it to the side right now.
Right on. You had 30 seconds left, man. I thought for sure I was gonna get to push my little button over here.
We're gonna be buzzing you, Mule.
I know. I want to buzz somebody.
Mule plays one game, and watches 2 shows.
Yeah, man. Pretty much.
Yeah, but he watches that show 5 times in an evening.
Maybe.
What are you up to?
Ooh, okay. It's on the clock. Okay, here we go. On the clock. Lots and lots of Mass Effect anticipation. I gotta say that. I am going the PC route because, as some of you guys know, I am super proud of myself. actually took my whole PC apart. The only thing that I kept in my PC was my hard drive and my GPU. And I completely gutted it and rebuilt it all by myself with basically studying for about,
I saw the pictures.
6 months, maybe? 6 months to 12 months, because I've been playing it for about a year. And put it all together myself, and I am extremely happy. It literally melts my face off. It's got a Ryzen 9 3900X and my 2080 Ti. Oh, it just, oh, it's buttery, man. It's so buttery. I got a new podcast mic, the Wave 3, as you guys can see here. And it's, I've been getting like all the new stuff, if I feel like, man. It's nice. Other than that, yeah.
I'm gonna get stimmy.
Yeah. Thanks for having four kids, Mrs. Mule.
You helped, I heard.
Yeah. Five's maybe coming. A little bit. Apex, lots and lots of Apex, a little bit of Star Wars Battlefront on the side, because it, I mean, that's always kind of in the rotation for me.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Man, I still got a minute 30. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Shows. God, I haven't been really watching any shows.
I'm done tonight. That's all I got.
Yeah. The Bad Batch. The Bad Batch is just awesome. I'm enjoying it. Second episode was a little bit slower than the first, but I kind of felt like they needed to do that. A little bit of world building, stuff like that. That's about it for me. So I'm off the clock and I had over a minute left. So now we're going to Rad. You're on the clock.
Well, nothing has prepared me for this like Gilmore Girls, so let's go. So, I can talk very fast and say a lot in a short amount of time. So, let me start over. I played Titanfall 2 for the first time on stream, so I got that done, I believe, since we've last done the podcast. It was very, very fun and amazing, and I am truly upset that I didn't play it before I streamed it. Effect and Cause is one of the greatest levels of an FPS game I've ever played. That's the one with the time traveling.
Jumping through time.
It was very, very well done, and I super impressed. So that was really great. As for what I've been playing recently, I did play that recently, but currently, lots and lots and lots of Apex. I'm fully just like committed to Apex. I have my mains. I'm really, really into it. I play it every single day, and it's been a lot of fun, very rewarding. I'm super those into games, it. I'm going to talk about it very soon.
Those games we played together, oh my gosh.
They were sweaty. They were sweaty. I'm glad we got the dub at the end there, though. I did jump into Destiny, did some Season of the Splicer. I really like the aesthetic. There's definitely some issues that I'm having with the game, but like it's still, you know, like a similar, it's home a little bit to me. So when I hop in, I always find something to enjoy. So, that's been really nice. And, I'm trying to think if anything, I've been playing anything else. I don't think so. I think that those are the main games I've been playing. I'm definitely waiting for Mass Effect. We'll talk about that soon. In terms of watching, my husband and I, yes, Crow, are still moving through Futurama. We're almost done. And it's just because my husband doesn't like to watch things as bingy as I do. I have been, I know you do, Dad. I know you love Apex. I have been watching The Mighty Ducks Game Changers, and it is so stinking cute. I love it. It's a lot of fun. One of my favorite actresses is in it. She was in Gilmore Girls, so it's like an easy watch for me. And then just some other like fairly typical basic white girl shows that I'm watching. So a show called Rebel on ABC with Katie Sagal in it. And it's fine. It's fun. I like watching it. And I think I'm done.
You know, Red, you might actually like the Slice of Life anime that I just finished. I'll have to send you a link to it.
Send me some stuff.
Try like the first episode and see what you think.
Yeah, sure.
It's got a cute
Grew just, sounded, Grew just like sounded like the Jehovah's Witness knocking at the door right there. Like, have you read the anime?
Have you read
the Nani?
That's great. I love it.
Yeah. Right on.
There you go.
I may have to make that segment shorter because we all had like extra time.
I think two minutes would be a good time.
We're all
be a rush.
We're all hyped up.
I think the trial run was all about like how fast can we do it. You know, we have a good gauge of like how long it actually is. We can like pace ourselves a little bit better because I definitely rushed.
That's what she said.
That's what he said probably. Zinga. I I think that 2 minutes would definitely be, I love you, Crow, but it would be fun to see Crow get his stuff in within 2 minutes.
I would have to write down a list and have it in my face, holding a piece of paper in front of my face, like, okay, this, and this.
The hand just then. Oh,
I know, it cracks me up every time I see it.
Yeah, so cool. Yeah, so I think that we are going to move on to the first topic, which is a topic that I'm going to be leading and talking about, which is Apex Legends. And we're just going to jump into that a little bit. And I know that Mule has been playing a lot. I know that Lupo maybe crashed and burned a few times and enjoyed himself. But
really today, like, I did good. I like literally my second match, like booting up after the season started, I got a dub. Second match. Jeez.
No, yeah. I was just, you know me.
I joke about it a lot too, like I think it's fun just like going in, like playing with Mule is like a different experience. If you play a battle royale before Mule, you're like, all right, I gotta just play casual, like play cautiously and try to win. Mule's like, nah, get into the thick of it.
We're going now.
Scoot. Yeah, yep. It's a different experience, and it just changes. It changes. But like, that is how you want to play this game, though.
Yeah.
Well, it is. It's you're absolutely right. And the thing that was very fun for Mule and I was that I was playing the new character as Valkyrie, and she has so much movement, and so we called it the turn and burn and loot and scoot stream, because Valkyrie's ultimate allows her to shoot her team up into the air. She does a cute little trick in the air, something cute, you know, and snazzy, and then she takes you off, and she can take you somewhere else. On the map. And so we'll talk a little bit about Valkyrie in season 9, but it's Apex Legacy. And I did write a little piece on the first look at Valkyrie, and basically she's a lot of movement, like I said. She has that great ultimate, and the other two skills that she has includes her jets that allow you to thrust up into the air, and you can thrust forward and you know, quick escape, or you know,
a lot of thrusting
going on in Apex Legends these days. And also, you know, she lets you get out of tough situations or jump in aggressively if you're playing with Mule on tough situations. And then her other tactical is that she has like a rocket swarm that you can designate an area for rockets to land on. So she has been a blast to play. And something else that I think is important, something that Apex does really well, and sometimes people don't like this, but I do think it's important. She is an LGBTQ+ character, and so she allows for representation for that community to be in the game. And they do that with some other characters too, so it's nice to see them openly like representing different groups of people. And that doesn't often happen in video games. I think it's becoming more prevalent, but there's been a lot of positive feedback about that. Her bio says like she likes drinks, ladies, and you know, something else. And so they're just like very open and casual about it. And I think that's nice and super important.
Speaking of that, have you seen what she does if you go idle in the start screen for too long?
Yeah, so she'll do this thing. There's two funny things that she does. One thing is she'll like pretend to like flip her like thrusters in her hands, and then she'll like look directly into the camera and like, do you see how impressive I am? It's like really ridiculous. She's like a frat boy. And then the other thing she'll do is she'll burst herself out of the screen. She'll land onto the ground and like pop open a beer and just like start drinking it on the ground.
It's down screen. And starts drinking a beer.
Yeah, she's like laying like paint me like one of your French girls. She's a great character. She's very funny. She has some very funny one-liners. And Apex is definitely becoming a game about movement.
Brad, I gotta ask.
Yeah,
sure. Family Man Gaming is asking what you think about Arena Mode and your like overall thoughts of Valkyrie.
Yeah, so that's I was gonna get into Arena Mode next. So Arena Mode has been super fun. I don't know if anybody else has jumped in as much as I have, and I was really excited about Arena Mode because one of the other games that I do play a lot is Destiny, and Crucible has become very frustrating to play, kind of regardless of where you're at with the game in terms of, you know, your relationship with it. Crucible is in a tough spot. So when Apex, that has very great gunplay and, you know, the abilities are manageable and timed a little bit differently than Destiny, I wanted to jump in and see if it was similar to Destiny or felt better. And it's like really intense 3v3 gameplay. It's really, really fun. I like it a lot. I think it's definitely better with a pre-made team. It's fast. There's a lot of, you know, skill involved and just minding the map. And I really like it. So, and then, Mule, I don't know if you have any input on.
Yeah, I think Arena, it feels to me, Arena Mode feels a lot like Rogue Company, where you have a buy before each thing and everything like that. But right. It's not, right. it's a good change up for the BR mode. Like, especially if you just want pure PvP, almost Titanfall-esque. Yeah. It's not really, but it is a little bit, just because it has
a, kind of the more mobility.
Yeah.
The speed of movement.
Yeah. But I mean, I actually got to use before the podcast the most I've done so far of Valkyrie, and her movement is insane, dude. Like, there's so much you can get out of trouble with her. Like, it will probably quickly become my second or third character I play all the time.
Yeah, and when you couple her with other characters that have high mobility, I just almost became like a Southern woman. You can't, like, you can collapse on other teams so quickly. I sometimes forget how quickly you can just, like, get to another place when I'm playing with characters like my friends who don't have that type of movement. So my overall reaction to this season and to Valkyrie specifically is I think she's a great addition. She definitely adds another element to the game. You have to learn, like, to understand her flight pattern so you can try and shoot her out of the air, but also she can, you know, get out of situations quickly and charge on you quickly. She's a funny character. Like, I just like listening to her voice lines. Like, when you designate that there's a geyser on World's End, or World's Edge, excuse me, World's End is a Pirates of the Caribbean movie. On World's Edge, she will say, like, oh, I guess we have to take the geyser. I hate my life, or something like that, because she wants to be the one to, like, take people into the air. So she's just a well-written character, very, very fun to use, and if you're an aggressive player, you might want to give her a try.
Right on.
That's all I got. Yeah.
I just wanted to say one more thing before we get off of Apex. I think it's interesting that, like, Apex... It's not very often that a game like this takes ideas from other people and does them as well, if not better than them. So, you know, you have it did BR very, very well. In my opinion, like, better than any other developer did BR. And now you have, like, that 3v3 or, like, head to head knockout system like Valorant or CS:GO, and they're doing it very well. You know, so I'd be interested to see how they do their own game mode, or, you know, how they proprietorize themselves and, like, a game mode rather than do something that what other people already do, you know?
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's well said.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess that kind of moves on. So yeah. Next thing that I'm really excited about talking about is the PSO2 New Genesis beta that's coming up this weekend that Lupo and I are going to be jumping into. Hopefully we'll get some time in. Basically, New Genesis is the next step into the Phantasy Star universe. It's going to be connected to PSO2, so you'll still be able to play them. Basically, they're all the same game file. It's just a matter of which... Imagine it like kind of like Master Chief Collection in a way, where there's two games, one game file. You'll just be able to load between different ones. But this one, it's going to be completely separate. Unfortunately, it is only on the Windows PC, Windows 10 PC, like the Microsoft Store. There's no Steam version, there's no Xbox version. So any people who are still playing mainly Xbox, I'm sorry. Anyone who doesn't want to deal with the Windows Store, I can understand. But luckily, they did announce very recently that the full release of the game is going to be next month. So you don't really have that long to wait. It's going to be starting... So for those who actually want to play it, they are still allowing some people to get in. Like, Lupo was telling me before the podcast that he's actually didn't confirm when he was trying to get in. So when he went to download the beta yesterday, he had to redo it. So some people are able to get in. Also, there are some people on Twitter giving away codes to be able to get in that I've seen. It's taking the PSO2 game to a whole new level. It's going to be, in my opinion, a much needed update. Because Lupo and I have had this conversation where... The original game can feel kind of samey, where you're just kind of on a track on these very similar to, like, Warframe pre-generated maps, where they take sections and just throw them together to give you your objective. this one's going to be a big open world. Starting, it's only going to be one map, but from what I've seen, and even what you get, we're not even get to play the whole map in the beta. It's pretty big. It's no Breath of the Wild big, but it's pretty decent size. It's going to be big enough that, yeah. And, like, we're only going to be in one biome, and, like, there's scenes that you can see, like, three or four other biomes on the whole map that will probably get added later. And they've said, like, yeah, this is just the first location. So,
hey, Dark says, what are they adding? Dark Life asks.
So, basically, they're doing a big overhaul. Imagine, like, I'm trying to think.
It's a graphical overhaul and just retooling the way the game's main systems work. So instead of like having a hub base, you're more in the open world. You know, it's a little more fluid from like activity as opposed to like always breaking up and stopping. Like how you said before, how like Warframe is like you do your activity, you go back to the hub. You do your activity, you go back to the hub. So this is a little bit more fluid, activity to activity, and it's just kind of like a more
you world, can just
combat
hang
more
out.
Fluid.
Yeah, they're changing the combat system. Like, you're still going to feel like you're playing the PSO2 game, but it's going to feel like you're going from, like, the best I can think is, like, you're going from Mass Effect 1 to Andromeda.
Yeah.
It's
that stark of a difference. Yeah,
that's
it really
a big
is.
Jump then. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be running all this weekend. Hopefully we'll get some time into that. But I'm gonna try and stream it. So if anyone's got interest in it, I'll try to post when I'm gonna be live. I should be live on Saturday if I got time. But yeah, that's kind of where it's gonna be.
And I definitely gonna try to jump in with you for a little bit. But my biggest focus for the weekend, besides Mass Effect, and we'll talk about Mass Effect later, has been Destiny. You know, Destiny.
Did you say Destiny? Hold on.
Are you surprised?
Let Mule step away.
So I'll get into your frustrations. I really will, because like I do think it's an important thing to talk about, especially like 4 years after, you know, Destiny 2 launches. this
it's
season
on the brain,
launched,
bro.
I know it is. It really is. This season launched on Tuesday. The season of the Splicers. So basically, our focus is the Vex are the threat this season, so that's why they're bringing back the Vault of Glass. But the main story drivers this season are Ikora Rey. Surprisingly enough, we haven't had Ikora in the story for some time now, and a fallen splicer named Mithrax. So Mithrax has actually been part of the story for in Destiny 2 for a little while now, like back into like vanilla days. You know, he was a
minor
character
actually
then.
Been in the game since vanilla Destiny 2.
Yep. So
Dog has an extreme hard on for him.
Yeah.
Don't tell his wife.
Extreme is putting it nice.
Maybe his wife likes that.
Yeah, maybe she does. Yeah,
I don't know.
So what it brings this season, Season Splicer brings a brand new six man matchmade activity called Override, and it's actually pretty fun. Like it seems like every season they bring like this like new activity to do to kind of refresh the content a little bit, but yeah. There is a lot of like repeating the old thing.
What do you mean
like,
refresh the content? It's Destiny's motto is reduce, reuse, recycle.
I mean, so is every other game.
That's true.
You're playing Apex.
It's
you jump
three
out of the ship onto the same map every time and go
drop,
shoot
get
people.
The stuff, dude, shoot people. It's
no
the same
way.
Thing.
There's at least a little bit more variety with Apex.
You're absolutely incorrect. It's a single. There's two game modes. You jump out.
There's
of
been
a,
three maps since the game.
Yeah,
launched.
You jump out of a ship and do the same thing every.
But
single
how
time.
Long has
I
Apex been around
for Destiny
compared to Destiny?
For that. I'm sorry.
How long has Apex been around since Destiny?
2 years.
Yeah, and literally two years
three
longer,
maps,
and Destiny has had more content.
But why are we
making Apex
this a competition? Like we just want to enjoy the
exactly.
game.
I just wanted to kind of troll y'all a little bit, and trigger y'all.
I can't be trolled with Destiny because Destiny has been the most consistent game for the last 5 years. Like there's always new content. There's always things to do. People aren't competing with it, but they're no game can top what Destiny does. There's few games that offer the gunplay. The repeatability that Destiny does, and it's just I don't know how anyone has tried to compete with that space.
I've had very little time to play it, but I actually really enjoyed the new little the six-man activity. I like that it's match-made, so you're gonna find people. It's not like the... I forget which season it was in, but it was like you had to bank the motes on Io and Titan.
Yep.
It brings aspects of that, but then also brings in kind of... It feels like almost Gambit, because you have to go through the portal, go take some stuff out. Obviously, it's not you're not going to portal to attack an enemy team, but you're going to for like a small objective, run through there, try to get there as fast as can. I've only had time to actually run it one time, so it was kind of interesting. I could definitely tell that my teammates had been doing it for a while that day. Like they were just shooting everything. They were just like timing everything perfectly. I'm like, wait, what? At one point, I just sat back and I was like, okay, I'm going to watch them to see what the mechanics are for this. Like, I didn't realize, like, okay, you got to shoot the little, like, mini cube thing, the oracles, mini oracles, when they light up, and then you have to climb the tower to go activate the thing at the end. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to go try and climb it. And so one, like, it was always a hunter or something that would make there, like, right before I did. But I'm enjoying it.
I think for me, like, what really is clicking this season is how well they're delivering story content. Like, they went right ahead, and they usually don't do that with like the lesser seasons. Like, the big expansions usually have like a lot of story up front. This season, like, they're hitting you with the story. They're preparing you for the future of Destiny. Like, every season now is leading up to the big picture for the next major expansion, you know, early in 2022. So it's touching on a lot of things. There's a lot of like twists and turns are going to take and like deep seated secrets that people are finding. And I think it's a really interesting thing that like doors that they opened in Forsaken are now being, you know, busted wide open, you know, and we're going to see like the inner workings of like the storytelling and stuff like that, moving forward. For me to, address what Mule's talking about, like, you know, Mule played a lot of PvP in Destiny, and like honestly, I think PvP in Destiny might be in the worst place that it's ever been, and that 100%. this is going back to even vanilla Destiny 2. Stasis is impossible for them to balance without segregating PvE and PvP. And it's just frustrating the crap out of people. So I basically, like, Stasis is an absolute crutch in the Crucible, and if anybody enjoys using Stasis, I'm sorry. If Stasis will negate all abilities in the Crucible. So if you're using Stasis, you can stop people in their tracks and basically one shot them with any weapon. It's basically
a hunter tether that you can use at any in lots of different ways. You don't have to have a super to use it.
I mean, it's more powerful than a tether anyway. Like it's a tether on
steroids. Crack. And the way they keep like adding things to Stasis every season is good in one sense because it shows you how they want to like expand on the current light systems potentially.
They need to. That's the thing, is they need to add at least one other element.
I think they're going. I don't think they need to add in elements.
No, I'm saying they need to. They need to make this. They need to take one of the existing light elements and turn it into this system.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're going to. I mean.
Yeah, but I was half expecting them to maybe start doing a little bit of it, but they haven't done anything yet. Because I haven't gotten to play a whole lot of Destiny. I've only gotten like a couple hours of this season so far, but what I'm seeing on like TikTok and stuff, like the new aspects, especially the hunter one, is just broken. It makes the stasis nades pre nerf on stasis, they're more powerful than the pre nerf stasis at the beginning of the like when they came out.
Yeah, and just everything they're adding to Stasis just makes Stasis more potent. It makes the abilities more detrimental in PvP, and it's just...
Don't get me wrong, I love it in PvE. Like, it's fun.
It's fun. Like, I prefer light all the way.
Light subclass I love better. The new sidearm is actually pretty fun. Especially as a warlock who can just freeze everything continuously, especially for PvE content. It's not as good in PvP. I feel like it's gonna... gonna be interesting.
Family Man said they're half-assing PvE and PvP. They're not half-assing PvE. Like they put out great content for PvE. There's no content that really can match Destiny's content, like from like a console's perspective. Like, and I think that's where you got to look at it, because like Destiny draws a lot of influence from World of Warcraft, and I think like World of Warcraft will always be like the best MMO that's ever been created, just because of its longevity and be able to like keep up with content at a high level for so long. But Destiny's a close second at that point. And every season, with the exception of a couple, I think they've done really well with adding new or something interesting to do. I would have liked to see more raids over the course of the last couple of years, but I can't complain. I played tons of hours over the last couple of seasons.
Well, I'll add one final comment on Destiny. I am 18 months sober from Destiny, and I feel good about it. Life has been great. Mental health is on the top. So
you gotta play what you like. You gotta play what you like.
Yep.
Exactly. And that's why we play Destiny still, and that's why you don't.
Just had to throw that in there.
Yeah. The more I play other games, the more I realize how much I enjoy Destiny more than any other game out there.
Sure. There's two other quick things before we jump into Mass Effect. One dropped today, which I think many of us are extra excited about. Dungeons and Dragons Dark Alliance looked pretty awesome, pretty cool 4-player co-op. But everybody's like, we're on different consoles, different platforms. We can't do crossplay. This is not going to be as good as we hoped. Well, today, for Xbox and PC, crossplay is going to happen. And on Game Pass,
day one. Yeah, I saw that. I was like, so already I had seen a trailer for this when it first got announced, and I was like, okay, interesting. Yeah. But today was the first time I had actually seen much more on it at all. And I was like, ooh.
Behind the back, Diablo. Instead of overhead, it's more like over the shoulder. It looks pretty stinking cool.
Cool.
It's definitely something I'm going to try.
Yeah, I saw it for the first time today as well, and I was like, oh, this is actually pretty interesting. I would like to see a little bit more personalization. Like, that's me, though. Like, I mm-hmm. like personalization. That's when you have, when you're like concrete into like one particular character, I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this. But it looked really cool. The combat looked great. I think the movement was super fluid, and it, like, I would definitely give it a shot.
For sure. Awesome. And we also got a pretty cool announcement today that I think a lot of us forgot about. Today is 20 years for Halo and Xbox being launched.
I feel old. No. Don't say that, Prime.
Crap. And I'm about to age myself with this little tiny little story. I can recall back to days when I first played Halo. I was in Circuit City playing on the Xbox kiosk Halo over and over
story.
Until they closed it down and announced it over the intercom. Thaddeus, you have to go home. Yeah, about a week later, I saved and bought my first Xbox.
Oh, that's great.
Didn't they delete your save?
The employees deleted all the save files for people that are playing too long. Jeez. And one of those was mine. Fine, I'll buy it. So I bought it.
That was the straw that broke the camel's back.
It was.
Love it.
All right. So the reason we're all here is because we're ready to nerd out about Mass Effect. So before we get into the talk, for you guys that don't, you know, that live under a rock, we're going to show you real quick the Mass Effect Legendary Edition trailer. So take a look at this.
to do this.
Oh, we were born to do this, guys. Jeez, I got goosebumps right now, man. Just watching that trailer.
So excited.
Oh, okay. What's the thing you're most excited about? I have to start first because I've been waiting the whole podcast to talk about it.
Excited about being able to take a nap.
Dude, I still can't believe you've never played these, Crow. You've got to play them.
I played part of one.
I got through a good chunk of one. I got stuck on a part, and then I gave
you're
it
gonna
up.
You're going to have to
and
replay.
I played probably at least half of Andromeda.
You're going to have to replay it, man.
So I know where Crow got caught, because like if you start Mass Effect 1, can we talk spoilers?
I mean,
there are some people
it's
in
an
our
old game.
Have
it's
not
a
10
year old
it.
It's a 10 year old game.
I think so.
But I know where he got caught because I did my first playthrough too, and I know to never do it again.
And well, what is that?
He went to Novaria first.
Okay, that's not a spoiler.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Actually,
he went to the snow planet first.
He probably doesn't remember.
It was Desert Planet that I got stuck on.
Is it Desert Planet?
Maybe you just didn't know how to RPG, bro.
This is the guy who has 2,000 hours in his first playthrough of Skyrim. I know how to RPG.
I had to tease you.
Bruh.
It's like, bruh. Let me hit the buzzer for Neil. Shut up, Neil. Shut up.
You need an RPG, bro.
Neil, I want to hear what you're excited for, man. Come on.
Okay. So I have purposefully not, like, watched anybody's lives. I haven't watched, like, any, like, Twitch, YouTube, anything, because I want to get in and see what it feels like for the new Mass Effect 1, because I'm going to say it. I think Mass Effect 1's story was probably higher on the scale for me than 2, even though 2 was freaking epic. Like, the whole, everything's wrapped in a pretty bow because of 1. And, yeah. Like, there's just so many scenes in it that you're just like, what? Like, when he meets Sovereign for the first time, and you're like, dude, he's literally like talking back to this figure that's like a deity, you know? There's just so many moments. And so I can't wait to get back in, because I haven't played 1 in years. And just replay the story. And I think it's in 2. There's a Shadow Broker and some of the other DLC.
Shadow Broker is one of the best DLCs in any game to
take
date.
Take my Mass Effect card from me. I have not played it. I've never
really
played that DLC.
You've not played Lair of the Shadow Broker? I hope, sincerely, I don't shame
never
people
did.
For shit like you? That. I sincerely hope, dude, that you enjoy it. It is such a fun, like, action-packed, yeah. There are silly lines, like, you know, and I'm biased to Liara, but, like, it is a very, very, very fun DLC. I truly hope
you played
enjoy
everything
it.
In Mass Effect 3?
Oh, yeah.
I have not, I've not played Omega.
Right. We had this conversation. Yeah, no. Me knowing you, Omega might rival your love for Shadow Broker.
I have played Citadel. And Citadel's fine. It's a lot of fan service, but I know that Omega is really
not
good.
Not that
and
kind
I'm
of fan
really,
service, bro.
A little bit. Depends on who you like. I'm really looking forward to Omega. That is one thing in the Mass Effect, universe that I just have not been able to play. I just never, by the time I was like, oh, I should play this, I was like not going to buy a DLC.
Yeah.
I like in Mass Effect 2, I felt like Arya was such a great character that like seeing her her character fleshed out more in 3 was just like icing on the cake for the entire trilogy. And
you
I didn't play the DLCs. See, like the problem with Miranda, like
I didn't hear which character you said. I'm sorry. You said which character? Oh, Arya. Okay, I just didn't
Arya.
Hear
no,
said.
Arya.
Yeah.
And like to be able to like use her as a squad mate in the Omega DLC was awesome.
Yeah.
And they just I just like, with the exception of like Garrus, Tali, Liara a little bit, like they honestly don't flesh out the characters enough.
Really. Yeah, I agree.
Like they do and they don't. Same. Like they could have done Miranda so much better. Like
it just
retrospect, you know.
Sure.
Dude, yeah. Family Man Gaming said he likes Andromeda, like unpopular opinion.
It's not that unpopular of an opinion anymore because they made a lot of good changes to it. And when people finally were able to disconnect it from the trilogy, people were actually pretty okay with it. So not that unpopular of an opinion, unless you want it to be. If you want to be unpopular, it's unpopular. But I think that a lot of people actually really enjoy it now.
I think it was the best Mass Effect out there.
And then I did see that Dark asked a really good question, and I know some of you answered it in chat, but all of the DLC except for one is in the Legendary Edition, and the one that's not, I have to tell you, I don't remember what it's called, but like the Lupo knows, but the files got corrupted, and they were not able to like recover them, so that was
so
just not
you're not missing anything. It's not like it's content, but not like it's not meat. So if you've ever played 3 with the Citadel and you have like the high score thing, like you go to the simulator, Pinnacle Station is basically the same thing.
Oh, okay.
It's just in Mass Effect 1. Gotcha. And just much worse, in my opinion.
It's like not good.
Yeah, it's not very good. Like it sucks to not have it there, but
what was the reason why it's not in there?
The company that actually made it didn't have a good copy of it anymore.
Yeah, so they couldn't. It would have taken
them almost as long to rebuild the entire thing as it did for them to remaster the entire series. And same thing goes for multiplayer as well.
Which we heard a rumor that it's not off the table.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah, they said that it's not necessarily off the table. That nothing's official yet, but that it's not necessarily off the table.
Dude, that would put me over the top if they do that. If they bring in the multiplayer back. I'm not joking, dude, because I was top 10 in the world. In the world. In the multiplayer. I was top 10.
This episode is blow your crocs off.
Hold on. Mule, can you name your first character Croc Shepherd?
Please. Shepherd.
Texas Croc Shepherd.
And no, the views just
There's one like on this live stream. If you guys can get this to 15 likes.
Being done by Dice. Get out of here.
15 likes on this channel. Right now, on this video, right now, Neil will make his character Croc Shepherd.
I think he would do it for free.
Probably so.
Come on, permanently
cement the legend of Croc Shepherd.
Okay, if we get 20 likes, I'll go back and check. If we get 20 likes on this video, I will name it
before launch tomorrow.
Before launch tomorrow. So by 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, you got to have 20 likes on this video, and I will name him Croc Shepherd.
Let's go.
Or Betty Crocker Shepherd or something. No,
Croc Shepherd.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Go ahead, Lupo.
No, I'm trying to think of like the moment I'm looking forward to the most again. I think some of like the payoff, like going through 1 and 2 and then seeing those payoffs in 3 is like such a like an extreme gratification for playing so many hours. Like you literally play 80 hours of the first 2 games and somewhere like 10 to 15 hours in, you start getting some massive payoffs in the third game. Just reliving that again is just awesome. Like as much, I think the last time I played it was in 2017 before Andromeda came out. It was the last time I like played the entire trilogy start to finish. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then seeing just how much more detailed 1 is. Like we've said, I've played 1 almost more than all of them because of trying to do all the achievements, and you can't do them all in one playthrough. So I've tried to start multiple playthroughs over again just to kind of do that. So it's something I've spent a lot of time playing, and I would just love to see it again. Like I've seen all the iterations, you know, 360, the updated version on Xbox, and then the updated version when One X came out. You know, I haven't seen anything new since the Series X. I don't have one, but I would really love to see it on with the updated 4K textures and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree with all of the comments you made about the visuals. I never played. Actually, that's not true. I played the game very briefly on PC. I've bought the trilogy like 3 different times now, but I'm looking forward to the updated graphics. I've also not watched anyone who has like early access to the game or who cheated early to get early access to the game. I'm just kidding. I'm
going to DM you a video.
No, I don't want to see video. I'm doing that on purpose. But I have talked a lot. I'm not going to tell the anecdote over and over and over, but I've talked a lot about the time that I found Mass Effect and that I was playing Mass Effect and what it gave me during that time. And I was very lonely, and it kind of gave me like a family to come back to, you know, when I was done with my day and kind of just living like by myself with people I didn't know. So I'm just like really looking forward to sitting down and just being part of that family again. I saw somebody write who was like had an early copy of the game for a review, I think. And he said, like, I've been playing Mass Effect all week and it literally feels like coming home. And I'll be streaming it tomorrow. I'm starting my stream about half an hour early. I'm just going to sit and chat for a while and then I'm going to start playing. And I know that like when the Mass Effect 1 music, the menu music pops on, it's called Vigil. That's the music. It like just touches a part of my soul that is just so deep, and the connections that I have to the game. And thank you, Mule. I mean, Liara is my favorite character. Yeah, whatever. I romance Liara. You know, who doesn't like a blue alien? But she is so important to me. She was like my best friend during that time. And I'm like, I am looking forward to like seeing her in a bubble. You know, like I can't wait for that and just hear her little voice. Hello, Commander. Like, I'm just so excited, you know, like I'm just looking forward to it. So it's going to be great. Feels like going home. And it's like the game that made me me. So I'm looking forward to it.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate to cut in and start talking again because I could do that way too much. But
me and you both.
You know, it's really funny. Like, Rad talks about streaming it, and like I think for me, like, Mass Effect was such a like a great personal experience. Like it was such a weird time of my life when I found Mass Effect and really got into it and like dug deep in it. And you know, like ME is just like perfect for Mass Effect for me personally, because it's me. It's about me. And like, I won't be streaming this game. Sure. This is a game for me. Like, yeah. I am going to play this for me, you know, because it's like all those experiences. This is an experience I don't want to share with anybody else. Like, it's just going to touch like my soul. And like, I'm going to find myself as a gamer again. You know, like, I think I've done some virtual soul searching in the gaming space over the last couple months since like not really streaming as much. Well, actually not streaming at all at this point, but I've just found more time to like really enjoy games for what they are, as opposed to what I or people want them to be.
Nicely said. A lot of my connection to Mass Effect is through a community. I did like a lot of community, like just like fangirling. So like, honestly, the only reason, not that I have to justify it, but like the only reason I'm streaming it is because I still talk to a lot of those people who I initially was like fangirling with in the past. And they've asked me like, hey, are you streaming this? I want to experience this with you. But I do feel the same, truly, Lupo. Like, this is Rachel's game. Like my coworkers know what I'm doing tomorrow. I said to them, I'm taking a video game day and I'm playing my favorite game ever. It's great. So I'm done. I can't speak for Lupo if he's done, but if anybody else has an anecdote, please share it.
I'll say one of the reasons why I'm super excited about this is not only to relive 2 and 3, because 2 was what, when I got back into gaming on 360 days, I was late to Mass Effect, and 2 is my first game to really play a game that was RPG-based, deep story, and sucked me in for hours and hours and hours. Fell in love with the game. It's like playing a movie, an epic saga. But more importantly, I get to play Mass Effect 1 for the first time legitly. I did the research and I made some really good Genesis choices importing into Mass Effect 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched some YouTube, but I didn't actually play the game. And I heard, you know, from various people, like, hey, don't worry about it. The mechanics are so bad, you're not going to miss much. And some saying you shouldn't listen to them because the story is so stinking good. Thank you, Rad. And now that it's been remastered, all that doesn't matter. I could play it legit and in some amazing graphics, mechanics that are better. And I can already tell you, hooks in and loving it from New Zealand. But I'm super pumped. Can't wait to have many, many long nights and tired mornings because I'm playing so much Mass Effect. And yeah, it's one of my favorites. And here we go again.
Yeah. Right on, brother.
Mm.
I'm just gonna be sitting here like, what you guys doing? Oh, you're playing Mass Effect? We'll talk to you, you later, I guess.
Know it.
Pretty much.
See you in 120 hours.
Yeah, see you in a minimum.
On your first playthroughs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, I kind of have a connection to at least the first game a little bit, and I don't know, the blue character, I think her name is Cortana.
Really?
Bruh.
Really?
If booting you from this call wouldn't mess up our layout, I would have booted you.
You know, I was like,
I can mute him.
Can, yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Wrap it up, Mule. What you got for us?
Star Wars is such a big thing for me, right? I mean, we have a podcast that we do, podcast, and a lot of the stuff you see on the YouTube is Star Wars. And I felt like when I saw Mass Effect for the first time, it really did tickle that same, you know, line of this is the universe. It's huge. I was trying to think of a clean way to say it.
Yeah. He's got an image to protect.
Yeah. But like, it just hit so many good, like, space sci-fi things that I love about Star Wars. And I'll die on this hill, and I'm sure there's other gamers that are Mass Effect fans that will feel the same way. They need to make a freaking TV show or a movie about the Mass Effect universe. It's literally like Star Wars. It's so massive. You could go anywhere. You could go before they even met the pre-contact wars. They could go there. They could go in between Andromeda and Mass Effect 3. I mean, there's so much they could do. And like for me, like you said, Rad and Lupo, it's just like, this is how I reconnected with Prime. And me and Prime go all the way back in college, you know? And this is how we reconnected. Mm. We spent late nights drinking beer and playing Mass Effect multiplayer until our eyes were bleeding, because that's what bros do, you know? And
young bros.
Young bro without kids. And
yeah.
Yeah. But it just means so much, man. And
TV show could be cool, and I'd be interested in it. But you know what does have two miniseries and a season of a show coming out? Halo.
So in terms of Mass Effect, there was one of the reasons that there was concerns about streaming it, and we can end. Did somebody say something before me? I'm not sure. There was concerns about streaming it because apparently there could be a DMCA strike due to WB having movie rights. And there was recently an Instagram post by Henry. Oh my God, I always say his name wrong. Henry Cavill. Cable. Cavill. Cavill. Thank you. And he had like what looked like a script in his hand, sort That's of right. like blurred out. And so you never know.
Yeah.
And on that note,
you have The Expanse as popular and successful as it is, you can have this.
You can have, you can.
Yeah.
100%.
Yep. 100%. Well, guys, I think any other closing thoughts?
It was good to see you guys, truly. It had been, like a month or two? And
It's been too long.
It's been too long. But I am ready to flay you alive with my mind. 11 o'clock Eastern cannot come fast enough.
Yeah. Well, guys, thanks y'all for joining us. If you like this podcast, then make sure you visit MuleHornGaming.com about page to find more great podcasts like the Bindu podcast. And if you're looking for ways to support the podcast, check out our description below for our Epic Creator Code, Amazon Store, Swag, Anchor, ways to support us on Anchor, and so much more. If you guys would, like us on Facebook, leave us a review on iTunes. You can follow us all on Twitter. And remember, guys, when in doubt, blow it up! Blow it up! Vanguard warp your face! I should go.
Damn it, you bird.
You took it. You took Lupo's life.
Would you mind him in the